Welcome to the Connect with County Leaders podcast with your host, Brian Hill, County Executive of Fairfax County, Virginia. Connect with County Leaders gives listeners a chance to hear County Executive Hill discussing the county's priorities, opportunities, and issues with leaders from around the county.
Hello and welcome to Connect with County Leaders. I'm Brian Hill. On this edition of the show, it's my pleasure to welcome Jeffrey McKay, Chairman of the Fairfax Board of Supervisors. Chairman McKay, welcome to the Connect with County Leaders.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
You know, there's been a lot of scuttlebutt that you have not ever been on a show with me, and I'm just trying to make sure that I tell everybody this is not the first time that you and I have had this conversation.
It is not. I have definitely been on the show before, and I think what happens is we talk so often, like many times every single day, that we forget whether we were doing a podcast or we were just having a conversation. But our communication never stops.
You know, people ask me a lot, who do you talk to the most? I said, other than my mother and my kids, Jeff McKay.
Ah.
And my mom, when you're on TV, my mom will call me and say, Jeff's on TV. And, you know, you mean a lot to me and my family. And it's been a great ride. So, you know, when I first came to Fairfax County, you were the lead district supervisor. And I remember your dad coming to me and said, do you know where this is? And I looked at the shirt and I said, is this a trick question? I had no idea your dad was checking me out down there in James City. So, Mr. Yeah. McKay, thank you for all the great things you have done for me and for my family. So let's just get into the show.
Yeah.
All right. You grew up in Fairfax County. You grew up on the Route 1 corridor. Tell me how it's changed.
Well, first, you know, where you come from, I think, shapes a lot of your belief system and your values. And for me, the Route 1 corridor is still home to me. You know, it is where I grew up. It's where I was raised. It's where I went to school. And, you know, it's where my heart is a lot of the times, because things have changed a lot since I was a kid. And I think the recognition of this county about the importance of uplifting all parts of our county is refreshing, and something that I think I've played a significant difference in making happen, you know, along with you and the rest of the board, is that, you know, if we are to be a county that is always on the upswing, which we are, we have to take care of every corner of the county. And Richmond Highway Corridor was an area that, in my opinion, was long neglected. It is a vibrant area now with big investments, including a $1 billion-plus bus rapid transit program that's being built, improved public safety, pedestrian safety, environmental enhancements, a lot of investments the county have made in that corridor. And I hope the people in that part of the county understand that there are leaders here and there are county executives here that appreciate them and want to uplift them. And that's been a passion of mine.
But, you know, I want to stay there for a second, because a lot of people don't recognize the fact that the non-residential commercial space on the Route 1 corridor is up almost $200 million. That is predicated on your leadership as well as the board's leadership and making sure that we can provide things for people to do. We talk about BRT. You've been instrumental with BRT. Why don't we just talk a little bit about that 9 or 7 mile stretch that's going to be transformational?
Yeah, let's do that, because you know, never in my lifetime has there been such a concerted effort to improve the corridor like what we're dealing with now. And this is not an investment that just simply builds a bus line. I mean, this is a transformative, life-changing opportunity that's an investment in all the people that live in the highway and the people who work in the highway. And so to me, this is not a physical infrastructure project so much as it is a moral infrastructure project. And I think has the potential to not only transform the highway today, as you said, just look at the valuations, but also has a transformative effect in terms of improving the lives of people who live there by giving them new access to new improved jobs, higher quality housing, green space, the types of things that people expect to have everywhere in Fairfax County. And so to me, while this has been a journey, and it hasn't been without its challenges along the way, we're at a point now where we know this is happening. This is no longer a hypothetical, and I think a lot of people on the highway have heard people promise good things that are coming, we're looking out for you, things are going to happen, and they were very suspect of this actually occurring because they thought this was going to be one of those promises that wasn't kept. And I'm just proud that it is a promise that is kept, not only to South County, but will benefit the whole county. You know, that's the part a lot of people miss. If we can uplift people in one part of the county, that benefits the entire county.
Well, I totally agree with you on that point. I mean, I remember coming into Fairfax County on November 9th, 2017, and you're sitting at the end of the table, and we're going through an interview process, and the late, great Kathy Hudgens asked me, could I talk about and embody and bring about One Fairfax into our county? And I looked at myself and I was like, wait a minute, what does she mean by One Fairfax? And then you blurted, access and equity for all. And I said, yeah, and you and her were the architect of that. Why don't you tell the folks listening to this podcast where it began and how far it's come during our 9 years together. God, it's been that long?
It has been that long. First, I appreciate you bringing that up, because the reason that was so important to us at the time was that it was a relatively new policy and marked a real shift in thinking in the county. And we knew that if the leadership at the top of the county didn't embrace that, it would be that much more difficult to achieve. And so for us, it was kind of a litmus test to you know, where we're going and what we want to do. But how it happened was there was a minor dust up at a Board of Supervisors meeting with a school budget item. And, you know, the schools had suggested that they were going to cut Project Focus and Project Excel, which were two programs that help Title I schools and encouraged the best teachers to go into Title I schools. And the dust up was, Supervisor Hudgens and I found it incredible that of all the things in the school budget that would be cut, you would be cutting the thing that's most needed by the kids that face some of the most challenges. And we finally put our foot down and said no more. And then Chairman Bulova said, hey, I'm going to set up this committee called the SCIPT. And it's going to be a joint school board and county board committee. And congratulations, Supervisor Hudgens and Supervisor McKay, you are our two appointees to it. And so it was very time consuming. But through that SCIP committee, we didn't sit down and say, what new programs can we come up with? What new ideas can we have for helping people? We said, let's have a real hard conversation about root causes of poverty. Let's have a real hard conversation about the fact that there are parts of this county that have different health outcomes, different life expectancy, and why is that? Because if we just keep adding programs to this challenge, we're not going to get to the type of system-wide change with intentionality that we need to improve the lives of people in areas that face some of these burdens and some of these challenges. And so we didn't take the easy route. We took the hard route. And as a result of that, we came forward with a resolution, of course, adopted by the school board and county board, but also now a policy that is put in place. And a policy that I will add, I see many instances of where this policy is not only improving the lives of people in the county, but it's also making sure that our staff and our community focus on this issue of equity in a different way. And this has never been about taking something from one person and giving it to another. This was about, how can we help people who are missing something or who don't have access to an opportunity that other people in the county have? And how can we make sure that we're doing that in a fair, equity-based way that promotes economic development, promotes better health outcomes, promotes just better quality of life?
You know, it's fascinating how you put that together, because what people don't realize is that you and I had a conversation and you said, this is the policy, operationalize it. And I looked at you like, yeah, give me a couple of weeks to figure that out. And I think that was January 4th, which was my second day on the job. I was in your district office. And I came, I'll be honest with you, I came back here, I went into Chairman Bulova's office and said, you didn't tell me the truth. this job is a lot harder than I thought, and I'm going to promise you that I'm going to get this done with the Board of Supervisors as well as Supervisor McKay at that time, because that's what I had to call you then. I'm honored to call you Chairman, just so you know.
Thank you.
And we came up with a plan for a strategic plan countywide you looked at me like I was crazy, and I said to you, how can I operationalize your policy without there being a plan behind the policy? Mm-hmm. You said, let's go.
Yeah.
So 6 years, 7 years later, here we are with a policy mm-hmm. that is intentionalized. When people speak, they use One Fairfax, they use a strategic plan. Thank you for your vision and your foresight, because that's what makes us better.
Thank you. And I just want to make one final comment on that, because I think it's important. The reason why speed was such a critical element for me in this is you know, I thought about, you know, the kids that I grew up with that didn't have chances, you know, and then I think about the kids growing up in the county now. They don't have time. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to put these things in place to help them now, so that they can become better adults and better contributors to society. And we don't want to live in a county that doesn't value every person. And you know, that, you know, the issue of time isn't just get a county policy approved so that you can champion it.
Right.
This one was about the faces and the people that we have met along the way, that I've met along the way, and the people who are counting on us to act with dispatch to help them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when we look at Fairfax County, we're affluent, right? And I'm proud to say we're affluent, but mm-hmm. we're also 48% Caucasian, 24% Asian, 16% Hispanic, 8% African American, you fill in the rest. What that is a melting pot.
Mm-hmm.
A melting pot that we have created to better serve all of the people and all of the residents, obviously led by you. Now, when we say that, the countywide priorities that you have set forth, obviously housing and transportation, but there's other priorities that you foresee and you foretell everybody. This is what Fairfax is about. Why don't we go over that a little bit, and then we're going to talk about the budget.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of pieces to that. I mean, first, for me, everything starts with brand protection. And making sure that the programs that we do in this county are celebrated, the successes that we have are shared with our residents, because I think a lot of times people who live here for a long time, like I have, we sometimes can take for granted what a great place this is. Yeah. Unless we're constantly reminded of it, you know, and all it takes is to talk to someone who's been here and gone somewhere else and then come back to realize we have something special going on here.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to be the brand protectors. You know, I always tell people, if you can't say something good about the community you live in, who's going to? And so it starts with that pride piece, Fairfax pride, brand protection. That is a huge priority of mine and consumes a lot of time, because, you know, there are people out there who want to demonize certain things for their own advantage. And they lose sight of things like, this is the safest jurisdiction of our size in the country. And so, you know, there's huge priorities of mine, and I mentioned safest because obviously public safety is a big priority. Adequately funding our school system and encouraging our state to be better partners in education funding has always been a priority of mine, without a doubt. Economic development is, you know, we can't do any of the things we do in the county budget without sustained efforts focused on economic development and job growth. And so the investments that we're making and things like the Silver Line are huge incubators for economic development. The BRT we talked about earlier, a huge incubator for economic development as well. And maintaining our reputation as a place where businesses want to be. With that, of course, though, comes, when you're popular and people want to live here, strain on housing.
Yeah.
And so affordable housing is a huge, you know, issue for me and priority for me, because, you know, when I started talking about affordable housing, many people talked about it through a moral lens. Oh, this is just a nice thing to do, charitable thing to do. It is no longer a moral lens alone. It is absolutely a key to economic development. If you cannot attract people to fill jobs in Fairfax County because they can't afford to live here, that affects all of us
yeah.
in the services that we get and the type of budget that we have in the county. So, you know, that is a key to economic development. So affordable housing, economic development, public safety, brand protection, adequately funding and partnering with schools. Those are real keys to the priorities that I have.
Well, I'm just going to say that you've given me a lot of priorities, and I have a long list of things that you and I have talked about over the years. The one thing that I'm really proud of that we have really embarked on is the economic development diversification.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at what's going on throughout our community and our county, we mentioned Mount Vernon and them you know, having a really good year, a bounce back year mm-hmm. in non-residential. But then I go to our friends in Sully District that basically was half of our non-residential growth was in Sully, and we stabilized. Mm-hmm. We stabilized Tyson's Providence area. You know, in my view, that was a breath of fresh air to see that we have put policies in place. We have operationalized those policies hand and foot together. Mm-hmm. And this year you had non-residential growth positive. And I'm going to promise you that we have some more tricks in our bags to go forward. When we look at the state giving us, you know, they say 50%, 50 cents on a dollar back, I'm still at that 24 cents because of the indirect cost. Let's talk about what's next in Fairfax County. As you're the chairman yeah. of the Board of Supervisors of the biggest, largest county and the safest, mm-hmm. tell us what's next.
Well, I think what you just talked about is really important, which is, you know, a community's ability to pivot under the circumstances they're dealing with. And so for the longest time, the county has, you know, had two reputational elements that we still have in place, which is this is a good place to live. When I was growing up, a lot of people lived in single family houses with, you know, picket fences and kids in their homes. We now know that this county has a lot of older folks who are looking yeah. to stay here, so they need a different type of housing. We know that younger people are looking for more affordable, smaller units. They need a different type of housing. So pivoting the way in which our county is developing to recognize the need to attract multi-generations of people is really important. When you think about economic development, I mean, you know, you and I have lived through COVID. We're living through a significant reduction in federal funding that's impacting our federal employees, impacting our office, you know, vacancy rate. So again, another pivot. Those are not things that the county could control. Those are things that have happened to us and have forced the issue of looking at diversification yeah. because you can't just rely on certain segments of your economy, because when tough things like that come along, no matter how well grounded you are, you're at higher risk. Yeah. And so the county is, you know, a beacon of fiscal responsibility, is a beacon of economic development and success. But when those outside influences hit you, you want to have as many options as you can to be able to recover from those. And certainly the impact on office as a result of federal reductions and the impact on our contractors tells us, you know, we need to rely on commercial growth that doesn't just rely on office development. We need to build housing that's not just conventional housing that net costs the county money, but building housing that keeps our seniors here. That attracts young people, you know, who don't have kids yet. Those are the types of things that complete a community and the types of things we've been working hard at.
You know, you mentioned COVID, and I'm going to go back to COVID. There's a couple of times you called me and said, hey, man, why'd you do that? And I said, because I had to make a quick decision really, really quick. And FYI, I made that decision about an hour ago, and you said, okay. But I changed it already because something else happened that mm-hmm. was, we were in this place of unknown. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, that's probably the best you and I have. I'm not saying we don't work well together, but we were like working symbiotically together.
Yeah.
You would do something, and it was sort of like I just look up in the air and I say, all right, Supervisor, Chairman McKay's doing this. We got to do this. And when we put our notes together at the end of the day, it was so funny to see, okay, yeah, you did this, I did that, you did this, I did that. Okay, all right, what's tomorrow going to bring? Yeah. And then tomorrow was totally different. And it was great doing it that way, but boy, it was exhausting.
It was exhausting, but you know, it also was inspiring in a way, because it also proved that, you know, if you're wired right and the county is well situated as we were when that hit and people were firing on all cylinders, that you could make important decisions about things quickly.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes we take too long to do things. I think you and I have both been frustrated by that. And part of it is because during COVID, we had to do them so quickly because we had to move on to the next thing. Yeah. And so it was absolutely a trying time. I'll never forget the first day when we had our first case here and had a press conference. And, you know, I remember Tony Castrilli saying, you know, just ease everyone, you know, go up there, talk about we've got a great health department, we got things under control. And we had no idea what was getting ready to happen. But some people would say, wow, that was a little off message, like calming people down. And I said, you know, thinking about it afterwards, actually, it was exactly the right message, because what people needed to hear is that, and again, this goes back to gratefulness, how grateful we are to live in a county that has the sophistication, has built the relationships to help us get through, you know, a very trying time. And we did that way better than just about any other place in the country. And then the last thing I'll say about this, just since we're correcting some records here about different things, I just want everyone in the world to know that the county executive gave me COVID throughout that whole process, and I survived.
I beg to differ, sir. I do remember when I received COVID. I believe you were at home already with COVID, and it was during a budget. I think that's the only meeting I've missed, and you actually gave it to me at a dinner. So I just want to make sure you know that, because
we got to have fun with it. And the point is, we like so many people survived a really tough time, and we did it because we stayed focused and we tackled issues as they came at us. And we did everything with the mindset of protecting our residents as best we could. And, you know, we had great successes as a result of that in a really tough time.
Well, all jokes aside, it was during the budget. That's the only board meeting I have ever missed. It was day three of our public speaking. I think there were 75 speakers, so I wasn't too unhappy about missing that. But going back to the announcement of COVID, we were at the Willard Sherwood Center.
Yep.
In the city of Fairfax, we have a great partnership with them. We are building a new facility. Hopefully, we have our interjurisdictional meeting soon. Before we close, give a little insight on the collaboration that we have with the city, as well as our entire health district, because we are about to embark on a very significant project there.
Well, those partnerships are really important. In the case of the city, look, there's a lot of things because of our size and scale that we can help the city with. And there's a lot of things the city needs that without the county's support and without their partnership, we couldn't do as efficiently and as effectively as we're able to do. And that's the most important thing. And I would say that extends to the entire region. You know, we are in a unique position as the largest county in the Commonwealth of Virginia. To be able to provide support and help for some of our smaller jurisdictions, and to recognize that, you know, while there are some parochial elements that exist within each jurisdiction, one thing we do really well in Northern Virginia is when times are tough, we stick together. We look for ways to be more efficient, to utilize each other's assets, to create better circumstances for our residents. And when I think about our towns and cities and other folks who rely on us as partners, we wear that as a badge of honor, because, you know, with our size comes a responsibility as well.
That's awesome. So closing comments for you is going to be, if a resident's listening to our podcast, what is it you want to tell them in closing?
I think it's the theme we've been talking about, which is real gratefulness. I think it's too easy to not reflect on our assets and to get caught up in a cycle of negativity. We live in a world of social media and immediate access to things and immediate suspicion. And I think we just need to take a step backwards and say, look, we're a AAA bond-rated jurisdiction that follows, you know, principles of sound financial management, that is recognized across the world as a well-managed county and a great place to live with high-performing schools, low crime, and a strong economy. We have all the ingredients that a lot of jurisdictions dream of having. We just have to take a moment to realize sometimes, or re-realize, that we have those and be grateful. I mean, I think about simple things like our network of human services.
Yeah.
And the services that we can provide for the most vulnerable in our community. When I look at other parts of Virginia, we are always the model in just about everything that we do. And I would say to our residents, you know, be grateful for that, support that, tout your community, talk about a wonderful place that this is to live and work and to recreate in, and don't be afraid to be super proud of this great place we live.
Chairman McKay, my brother, thank you. Thank you for being on Connect with County Leaders. And that concludes our episode today. And I just want to say thank you to you and the Board of Supervisors for allowing me and our 16,000 employees for doing the things that we do for our residents. So until next time, get involved, stay engaged, and take the lead, because leadership matters.
We appreciate you
appreciate
back.
You,
thank you. Yep. Thank
appreciate
you.
Appreciate you.
This has been the Connect with County Leaders podcast with Fairfax County Executive Brian Hill. To listen to other great Fairfax County podcasts, visit fairfaxcounty.gov/podcasts. And for additional audio content, tune in to Fairfax County Government Radio at fairfaxcounty.gov/radio. For more Fairfax County news and event information, visit News Center Online at fairfaxcounty.gov/news. The Connect with County Leaders podcast is produced by the Fairfax County, Virginia government.